Voters in Lansing will go to the polls tomorrow for a primary election that will narrow the field of candidates for mayor and for the city council. Mayor Virge Bernero is running for another term, and he has four challengers. The top two vote-getters will advance to November's general election. And joining us here today to talk about the mayor's race in Lansing and the 4th Ward District, the city council races as well, reporters Lindsay Van Holly of the Lansing State Journal. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, good morning.
And Andy Belaskovitz, the Lansing City Pulse. Good to see you, Andy.
Hi, Mark. Good to see you.
Before we get into the primary, Lindsay, LSJ executive editor Mickey Hurton spent his last day at the paper on Friday. What did you consider Mickey's strengths as an executive editor during your tenure there?
He has such a big picture vision. You know, he's a very passionate and committed journalist, and you know, has a really strong sense of what makes great enterprise and great watchdog stories, and really encouraged us all to go after those as best we could. So we're going to miss him dearly.
Yeah. Let's move on to tomorrow's primary and the vote on Lansing mayor that features the incumbent Virge Bernero and four challengers. Mayor Bernero's appeared on Current State here a couple of times in 2013. Back in January, he was here to preview his State of the City address. At the time, he described the dynamic between his administration and the council as being as healthy as ever.
You know, New Year's came, and there was sort of a New Year's resolution by the council, the now council president, Carol Wood, that she wanted to turn the page and build a more trusting relationship. And so part of it is I met with her. I mean, we really hadn't talked much outside of council meetings. So she said she'd like to meet with me and you know, have sort of a professional relationship, which would be a new thing. And so we've done that, and so far, so good.
You think she would agree with that? You're off to a good start?
I hope so.
Andy, how has the dynamic between the mayor and the city council played out since then, in your view?
I don't think that honeymoon lasted very long. And I think it was right around the first of the year. I think I was on this show talking about some internal investigations into a council member's laptop computer. And I think, if I remember correctly, you know, talking to Virge about that same time and saying, you know, what is going on here? This thing, the way Carol runs the city council, you know, isn't what I had envisioned. And ever since then, it seems like it hasn't been as, you know, merry as he kind of portrayed it at the beginning of the year.
Is that an issue for the voters tomorrow? The whole mayor council vibe?
I think it's been an issue for voters for the past several years. And it's largely a perception thing. You know, when you hear council members talk about it, they say, you know, it's largely this perception that people have of us up here. We're really trying to work this out amongst ourselves, but it just time and again, it just doesn't seem to work out that way.
Lindsay, what do you make of the mayor council vibe, and is that going to be an issue for voters tomorrow, do you think?
Well, in doing some of my reporting initially, talking to candidates, you know, a lot of them, especially the ones who aren't incumbents, had sort of the view that, you know, I'm going to come in as sort of an independent thinker. I'm going to be a fresh voice on the dais. So, you know, they're sort of coming in saying that I'm not aligned with any particular side, and so it'll be interesting to see sort of how voters, you know, perceive that perception today.
By the time the mayor was back on Current State in May, he was describing the council as out to lunch on economic development matters. He described himself as aggressively pro-business while saying that the council has a passive-aggressive approach.
For example, they want to raid the economic development fund right now. They propose in their budget, I think it's like $1 million, they're trying to take out of economic development when it's unnecessary and it's counterproductive. And you're really eating your young when you do that. One of the reasons that we're doing well, we talked about manufacturing, but we're doing well in bioscience, we're doing well in insurance. You know, we've got growth across the board in Lansing in tough times because we never stopped investing. We never stopped working. Now, they want to hobble our EDC and take money away. I'm not going to allow that. That's insanity.
This takes us back to his opponents on the council being unable to muster the votes to veto any part of his budget or anything else for that matter. They just don't have the votes right now, including the streetlights and fire hydrants. How important is this ability is this need to maintain the veto-proof majority?
Absolutely, Mark. And, you know, we've seen with the field of candidates this year in the mayor's race that really it's kind of a foregone conclusion that Verge is going to get another term. And I think his opponents recognized that a long time ago. And so the strategy has been, well, we'll go after his power through via the council by getting six votes that'll hold up to his veto to his veto. And especially in the fourth ward, this is playing out between Chongyan and Kinfora, who's got a lot of built-in labor support. And that's also kind of where this economic development issue spills over is the building trades and organizations who are going to get to work on some of these projects and how their politics fit into this. And Verge and the building trades haven't had a very good relationship over the past 2-3 years now.
With regard to the fourth ward in particular, Lindsey Van Hollie, what are you going to be looking at? Which vote counts are you going to be looking at most closely tomorrow night?
Well, obviously, anytime there's an incumbent running, that's one to watch. I think Jessica has a strong platform that she has been that she's been running on, and I think she's got some interesting challengers in that ward.
Which one or two do you find most interesting?
Well, I think, as Andy mentioned, I think Chongyana has the, the name recognition at this point, too, where she's been out, she's been out there a lot, really trying to promote her views as well. So I think it's going to be, it's the closest of the council races that I've seen so far.
Yeah. Anything to say about Bert Carrier Jr. or Larry Hutchinson? Carrier's an attorney. Larry Hutchinson's a 40-year-old Lansing stay-at-home dad. Andy?
Yeah, well, from what I know about Bert, we've talked a few times. He's an attorney, lives downtown. He's very much into this sort of free market approach to economic development. I think he did say he wants to try and get rid of the income tax in the city. I'm not sure how that would play out if he was elected. But he's very pro downtown development. Larry Hutchinson, I haven't had much of a chance to speak with him, so I can't comment too much on his candidacy.
And just to back up a little bit, Jessica Yorko is considered a member of the mayor's voting bloc on the city council. Are you saying that Bert Carrier would also be considered a member of that bloc?
No, I'm not saying that, and I'm sure that Bert would dispute that as well. I think he, really? as Lindsey mentioned, there's candidates who are pitching themselves as not falling into one of these camps, and I think he has publicly stated that he's disagreed with the mayor on certain issues, but that they're really lockstep when it comes to getting downtown development.
What does Chongyana Kinfora say with regard to this voting block thing, where she would fall?
She has mentioned that she would work well with council, she'd work well with the mayor. She doesn't see herself aligned with any one particular side, and would come in with sort of that independent, fresh view.
You reported last week, Lindsey, on fundraising. The mayor's raised $75,000 more than any of his opponents, and only First Ward Council member Harold Lehman Jr. had any fundraising to report. Former council member Harold Lehman, and that was less than $1,000. Money is obviously a blowout for the mayor here. Is there anything else in play here that's worth watching? I mean, Lehman did spend some time on the city council.
I think just the fact that the incumbent mayor has been in his position for a long time. He has a lot of backing, a lot of support from different groups, individuals to organizations and some of the unions as well. So it certainly makes sense that he's going to have a lot of campaign funding. Mm-hmm. To begin with,
does Lehman's tenure on the city council mean he's the likely other guy on the ballot in November, Andy?
You could probably say that. You could probably say that Harold has the best name recognition out of any of the other candidates besides
sure.
Verge running for mayor. So yeah.
Let's talk about the other two here. We asked the four other candidates to respond to some issues, and we heard back from two of them, Harold Lehman and Gene Gutierrez Rodriguez. Lehman is the former city councilman. Harold commented, ensuring the growth of the tax base, funding long-term liabilities, including retirement pensions and health benefits for city employees, and keeping the middle class from moving out of the city. This is just another visit to Lansing's long-term fiscal problems. Does he have the horses? What kind of tenure did he have on city council? is
Well, he spent some time as council president, and I know there was a time, this was before I was covering the council,
okay.
but I know he and Brian Jeffries had sort of an issue, not unlike we saw this year when it came to who was going to be the next council president. There was some sort of deal worked out, and then they went back on it. But yeah, Harold led the council there. He lost re-election in the first ward by something like 17 votes by Eric Hewitt in the first ward. So I think that kind of surprised him. He's always sort of run on for other offices since then with this sort of I have council experience, you know, over a decade on the council. So
we got an interesting comment from mayoral candidate Gene Gutierrez Rodriguez. He told us, "My long-term goal for Lansing is for it to become an energy and food independent community on the path to enlightenment that attracts intellectuals and innovators in all fields while being the leader in human rights." Have either of you spent much time with Gene?
I haven't spent time with him personally. I've talked with him over the phone a couple times about specific issues. Very idealistic guy. The rest of these candidates, you know, are just getting into politics, it sounds like, for kind of the first time. So it's not totally unexpected, but it's, you know, it is what it is.
Current State also reached out to the two other candidates running for Lansing Mayor, John Boyce and Donald Kreps. We received no response. Can you tell us anything about Boyce or Kreps?
I actually did not get a chance to talk to Donald Kreps, but I did talk with John Boyce a bit. He mentioned that, you know, he is concerned about, you know, financially, that, you know, taxes are getting too high and that base is becoming unsustainable for people living in the city. So,
with the likelihood of the mayor's reelection, what might that do to the city council races again, Andy?
Well, it's going to put a lot of attention on not just the fourth ward race, but also one of the at-large seats that are up. Incumbents Kathy Dunbar and Brian Jeffries are both up for reelection.
Yes.
There's candidates Judy Brown Clark and Ted O'Dell who are challengers who, you know, at this point, I think it could get a little interesting after the primary to see how that works out. But you got to remember, Brian and Kathy both have a lot of built-in support in this city. They've served on council several terms now, so they're coming into it with that. But the fourth ward, as we mentioned earlier, I think is going to receive a lot of attention.
Lindsay, for our listeners who didn't catch it, tell them about your story in yesterday's State Journal about the Keep GM film.
Sure. It actually had come to our attention that, you know, there was a group working early on a documentary trying to sort of revisit that time in the late 1990s when it appeared that General Motors might leave the city. Its plants were getting older and they were running inefficiently. So the idea came up, actually. It was former Mayor David Hollister and a couple of others really from that time who were sort of instrumental in that Blue Ribbon Committee that he formed, decided first to sort of start to capture some of these oral histories, before people begin to pass on. And it turned into, you know, there's really a narrative here, a theme. So they're trying to sort of weave some of those stories together, trying to find some archival, you know, B-roll footage, if you will, to sort of weave in to make really a 90-minute feature film.
And so, Terry at Message Makers in Old Town is kind of spearheading the production of the thing, correct?
They're working, to sort of stream some of this together. Yeah, they're working right now on a fundraising campaign. They need about half of a $200,000 goal, hopefully by the end of the year, in order to complete that project.
To make it a film, and they want to pitch it to, public PBS stations and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. What are you working on right now?
Well, just gearing up for the election. It's going to be a big day tomorrow.
Yeah. Andy, what about you?
Yeah, we're watching the election. We're sort of got an eye on what's going on in terms of filling an open Ingham County Commission seat. That I think there's a deadline on Wednesday for that for candidates. Deb DeLeon is leaving the commission, so they're going to appoint a new member.
That's it. Okay, very good. Great to have both of you on board. Lindsay Van Holly is with the Lansing State Journal. Andy Belaskovitz represents the Lansing City Pulse. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.